Well, first of all, I just want to thank our Pastor Rob for wearing black this morning, because I remain in mourning as a consequence of the grand final result. For those of you who don't know, I am a Penrith Panthers supporter and I was there. And I was doubly struck this week because I'm also a New South Wales supporter, and sadly, similarly, I remain in mourning. Tragically, I'm about to head to Melbourne this afternoon, and I'll probably encounter a whole bunch of Melbourne Storm supporters who also are probably Queensland supporters. Please pray for me and give me a level of tolerance towards that activity. I mentioned Pastor Rob. For those of you who are joining us perhaps for the first time, you may not have worked out that we have a tradition in this church that you start every message with a bad joke. A man walks up to a priest and he asks, "Will you please pray for my hearing?" "Of course," replies the priest, and proceeds to cup his hands over the man's ears and says a prayer. When he's finished praying, the priest asks the man, "Well, how's your hearing now?" And the man looks at him strangely and says, "I've no idea. My hearing's not until Wednesday." I believe that prayer is central to the opportunity to share good news, to our willingness to share good news, and to the effectiveness of that sharing, including our power to share good news and the openness of the person we share with to receive that good news. So what I want to talk about this morning is, what if the good news was provoked by prayer? But right up front, I want to declare really clearly that this message is as much directed at me as at my brothers and sisters who belong to Grace Point, and at anyone else out there in Facebook streaming land. If I was going to identify an area where I am still wanting to grow as a follower of Jesus, and there are many, but this one particularly hits, it would be around prayer and a number of aspects that I believe lead to a full and effective prayer life. So, Steve, please listen to what Steve is about to say. But I feel like a complete hypocrite saying it. Well, you know, you're just really having a conversation with a God who loves you, who cares about you. That conversation ought to be relatively easy. "Can you please pray for my hearing?" And even the joke says an enormous amount about an area where many of us struggle. Do we actually spend enough time with people who don't know Jesus yet to find out what their real issues are? Or are we praying for their physical hearing when really what we ought to be praying for is an upcoming challenging legal situation? What would be the outcomes that they would identify as important if we were to be praying for them? We so often bring our preconceptions into our prayers for others, what we think they need. So, I want to revisit briefly something of where I went a few weeks ago, when the question was, what if the good news that's available is you? So there should be a slide coming up just now. And hopefully, without spending too much time on that slide, you can see a pattern. Imagine it as a scale or a seesaw with a balancing point in the middle. The thing that tips it over from being present with and caring for people, kindness, love, etc., into the opportunity to share our stories of connection with Christ. The thing that moves the balance from getting to know them, to hear their real stories, to seeing their felt pain, and loads it across to the side of the scale where kingdom outcomes start to occur. It's prayer. It's you praying for them and then with them, and people experiencing the reality of God and the power of God through you. Signs, wonders, healing, life changes, guidance, understanding, relationship resolutions, love, hope, faith. Hopefully you've seen that in the slide. I believe that praying with people is the place that provokes the question. The place where someone is most likely to ask, most likely to feel free to ask, you about this God person that you together just prayed to, that you just had a conversation with. To string my two topics together then, what if the good news that's available is you and the good news is provoked by prayer? Is the answer just a little bit too obvious? I'm on the board of a Bible school in the Southern Highlands. It's Cape and Ray, just out of Mossvale. The model is a residential discipleship and Bible teaching program over something like 14 weeks, where generally young people come in and spend time learning about Jesus, learning about the scriptures, and learning about how to be a follower of Jesus in that context. And that includes the opportunities for field ministry with supporting churches. It's an awesome program. And it's directed at transforming the lives of young people into serious disciples of Christ. We had a board meeting yesterday by Zoom, as you do these days, and where the ministry coordinator shared the story of working with a church, Winoona Presbyterian, and the church asked the students to go out door knocking. Well, actually, I can hear the horrified intakes of breath even through the Facebook feed. Probably no different to the students, really. Door knocking? Really? And I'm not saying that this is something that we should do. But this story hopefully shows that we could do it. The approach was to door knock, and if and when the door was answered, to say that there was an offer of practical help in these uncertain times from the local Presbyterian church. But also to offer prayer, if people had a prayer need that the students could pray for. Yeah, there were lots of no's, but almost always given graciously. But if there was a yes, then it almost always led to a conversation about faith. And quite a number of the students had an opportunity to share their story of faith. And some of you who have been at Grace Point for a while, since the old building in Sudan Street, will remember a prayer tent that used to be part of the Spot Festival. And you remember the opportunities and the stories that came out of that. Not only that, but Rob has shared several times during this series the story about a local person in the local cafe and a prayer for healing over a hand. And I absolutely am convinced that that will bear fruit over time. An opening up of a conversation about faith. Just quickly, let's look at another slide. The story here, it's in Luke chapter 10, is that Jesus has chosen to send out a group of people, 70 or 72, depending on which translation you're using, out to go to places where he wants to visit. And he sends them out to be people of peace and to connect as people of peace and to find those people of peace and to stay in those places and to connect in those places. But here it starts in verse 1. Later the master selected 70 and sent them ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he intended to go. So you can see a sense of mission, a sense of going out, a sense of sharing good news. But he gave them this charge, which is a really interesting place to start, in my mind. He says, what a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands. And then, he says, on your way. Get out there. What if even the willingness, our willingness or others' willingness, to go out and share good news was provoked by prayer? We might come back to that passage in a little while. I know, because I've got some feedback, that some of you are actually fully on board with getting out there. You've been listening to the series that we've been going through, about what if, and we've been talking about the opportunities that might exist, and we've been talking about ways of going about it. So I know that there's a bunch of you that are going, yeah, I want to get out there. I'm not sure how to do it, but I'm going to get out there. I'm going to actually commit to being part of the community and actually engaging people with the good news. And I want to share something of one opportunity in a moment, but here's the rub. If you're already willing, then you need first to be a provoker of others joining in through prayer. By praying that the Lord will send out more workers. Jesus seems to be saying that if you're about to head out, then you are the best, you are in the best place to be praying that others will join you. But once you've prayed, don't sit around waiting for the crowd. Holy Spirit can sort that out. Get out there. In those places that I asked you to identify a few weeks ago, perhaps, those places where you already spend time and have significant and valuable relationships. And each time you go, pray that others will join you in the harvest field, sharing good news. Most of you know about my involvement in sports chaplaincy. I probably talk about it more than enough. But much of what I've shared, particularly the other week, comes out of the heart of that ministry. This video that we're about to see might help explain something of it to those of you who wondered a little bit about how it connects.
And it's needed, because the pressure to perform can hit clubs of athletes and even their families. Victory can lead to high expectations, while defeat can be soul-crushing, and both can tempt teams apart. Success, failure, high expectations, and life issues impact physical, mental, and spiritual well-being. But amongst it all are our sports chaplains. Engaging people with Christ's grace and mercy through personal relationship and conversation. They're listening to, ministering to, and caring for their local community. Because being a sports chaplain means holding a unique place in influencing culture. Each individual accredited sports chaplain reaches up to 500.
When in Sports Chaplaincy Australia we talk to sporting communities about why we do what we do, we actually say that we believe in the grace and mercy of Jesus, that and that care that he brings is the best form of pastoral care that's available. We talked a little bit about demonstrating that grace and mercy, but in our training we actually teach our sports chaplains that the key to good news conversations is prayer. By the way, if you're even remotely interested in sports chaplaincy as an opportunity, get in touch. It doesn't require anything more than a love for Jesus, a love for people, and probably, although not necessarily a love for sport, I'm pretty sure across our network there are three or four people who aren't passionate about sport. I'm not sure what's wrong with them, but we'll see if we can heal them at some stage. Our training takes all of 20 to 25 hours of your time. And I'm praying that some people from Grace Point might want to join us in that particular harvest field. So you might take that to God in prayer, and if he provokes you, then as that statement out of Luke chapter 10 says, on your way, come see me about it. We've talked about opportunity. We've looked at willingness. Finally, let's go to effectiveness. And the slide we're about to put up, it's up now, is somewhat scary in my mind. I think this starts to talk about provocative prayer. The Message translation of Ephesians chapter 6, or parts of it at least. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and he wants you to be strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps. A life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Jumping to verse 18, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. This is absolutely an area where I personally struggle because we're in a spiritual war. And I, frankly, have never been much of a prayer warrior. Given that we've just talked about sport, I love the way the Message translates, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, which is how most of the translations go with that, to this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. You get it? This is serious. This is, as the Message puts it, for keeps. This passage is incredibly challenging and it talks a whole bunch about the battle that's on, that the connection, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, it's against spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. It's a battle that I guess many of us might struggle with. And the answer to that struggle is not only that full armour of God that Ephesians chapter 6 talks about, but is found in our key connection with God, our key communication with God, which is prayer. Prayer is essential, the Message says, in this ongoing warfare. So pray hard and pray long. Some of you are in your wheelhouse in this area. Some of you are prayer warriors naturally. And I, for one, am grateful to God for you. One of the joys of the Grace Point community, for me at least, is that there are prayer warriors spread throughout our family. And I am so forgetful to call upon them. Maybe you are too. To learn from them. To share in the power of a strong God who wants us strong. But it's time. I guess in the words that were shared right at the beginning, it's time for us to wake up, to keep our eyes open, as it says in the Message, but to keep our eyes open in prayer. It's time not just for me, but for all of us. Time to engage in what I consider to be provocative prayer, prayer that leads to good news opportunities. Time for us to see the good news as actual good news, expressed in kindness and wrapped up in love and in the power of the Holy Spirit. We actually have a community out there that needs to see, hear, feel, experience and know the good news. And our privilege is that we have not only entered into that good news, but Christ has made us ambassadors of his reconciliation, as if God makes his appeal through us, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Jesus says that he is standing at the door and knocking. And the key that unlocks that door, I believe, is prayer. Our conversation with our Heavenly Dad. Prayer. And particularly praying with people seeds the opportunity for good news. Prayer, and particularly prayer that asks God to send us and others into the harvest field, seeds our willingness to be out there sharing good news. And prayer, and particularly prayer that lays hold of a strong God and the tools that he has made available to us in both the physical and the spiritual realm, that prayer seeds the effectiveness of the good news. And the question is, I guess, well, let me go back to Steve. Are you going to take advantage of that opportunity? Yeah? I suspect we're all the same. There's a little bit of hesitation. Goodness, God might ask us to go out door knocking. Do we actually believe in a God who can take us into those places and use us effectively for the sake of the kingdom of God? Of course we do. So are we willing to step out into the world with the good news? And do we actually have faith in a God who will certainly answer our prayers and see good news take hold in our spaces, in our places of influence? What a huge harvest, and how few the harvest hands. So on your knees, ask the God of the harvest to send harvest hands, and then on your way. Let's pray together.